all eternity. And so we're glad you're here. Thankful for everyone and out this morning. We've been reminded this morning with talk of budget, but we've really seen just a little glimpse even what the numbers represent. Yeah, that's really what it's all about. When we think about the work of the church and sowing the seed of the kingdom, and we were able to receive a little bit of an update on the good mission work that we're supporting, and we appreciate Chris and who recently has come back from Bogota, and we appreciate Earl Logan, who's in Haiti at the time, and all of those that serve on the mission fields that we're able to support, those in Mexico and even those here in the United States, like the Austins in Phoenix and Mexico. And we see what the numbers represent there. We're seeing what the numbers actually mean when we look at faces, and appreciate the beautiful images that we were able to see from the report that Chris gave about young lives and children and people being impacted by the gospel there in Bogota. We're looking at not just numbers, but what the numbers represent when you think about budgets and this sort of thing. You think about a group of members that gather on Monday nights and they sit around some tables and they write cards for a couple hours. And I suspect many of you have received the benefits and encouragement of those cards for Monday Night for the Master. That's what we're talking about. The numbers that represents. Yeah, there's a figure, there's a dollar number, there's a postage amount in the budget, but that's what it represents, is folks that are doing that in that regard. We think about a group that might come up here every Tuesday, a regular group, and serve in our food bank, and they receive with a warm smile and a welcome greeting those that come from the community that need assistance with food and are able to find some relief in that area. We think about this wonderful building and facility that we come to, and we sit in this nice auditorium, and it's heated and it's air conditioned during the summertime. We were blessed by this facility. We think about a new projector as the last one went out now, and we're able to finally have a new one that we've been able to get up. And we got to get the lens. They're going to come back, and the lens wasn't in yet, so it'll fill up the whole screen. Don't worry about it. But isn't that nice and clear? And just, boy, that is nice looking. We think about things like that. We think about songbooks, and we think about our Bible school teachers and our curriculum and material that it takes to teach and to serve in that area. We think about events like our fellowship gatherings and with this facility that we're able to enjoy things in the activity center, like the chili cook-off and outreach opportunities like Trunk or Treat. We think about our VBS program, and we think about all the good that we do through efforts like that. We think about this congregation that's blessed with a wonderful staff. I mean, it's really second to none except the preacher, but I'm blessed to work with here, Justin and his wonderful wife Sarah and Misty and Brandon and our staff that's here. If you ever call up here during the week, you talk to a wonderful young lady named Mandy, who's our church secretary, and it's a joy that she has to serve here in this congregation as a secretary, and so many others that volunteer. Recently, this building, with Ray Smith having left us recently, we've had some shoes that have had to be filled there and some spots that have had to be filled. And we think about folks that are serving here at the building and helping out with maintenance and other things. And I got to tell you, if you haven't, Tom Shellhorn doesn't ever want this mentioned, but this guy has spent hours up here recently and just serving and replacing light bulbs and fixtures and so many things that go unnoticed. And again, we took a lot of this for granted with Ray being here and the cleaning of the building, and he served in that area. And now we've got Marshall and Jerry Green, and we've got some new faces that are here serving. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about what those numbers represent. Ministries. Folks that are serving here, the gospel that's going forth, not only in this location, in this community, but throughout the world. That's what we're thinking about. We think about things like budget talk and the work of the church. You know, we have this budget that's been set, and again, you can get more information about that, those exact numbers, but ultimately what we do as a church is we give, ultimately not as so much as individuals, although is it an individual matter, and we lay aside and we, on the first day of the week, we give as we've been prospered, and we give sacrificially, and we give cheerfully, we give as we've been prospered, as we're able to give. We first give ourselves to the Lord, Paul would say there in 2 Corinthians. But ultimately, we don't just give as individuals this morning. No, we give collectively as a team, as a family. And I don't know one person in this congregation, maybe we do have one person, I don't know. I don't know one person that can meet this budget all by themselves, that they can just somehow write the check and cover this year's budget expenses. But I do know this, that individually, as each and every one of us purposes in our hearts, thinks about how God has richly blessed us and how we're able to give back to the Lord, specifically in this area, I know that we can meet that need. We can meet that budget. Because that's what we are. We are a family. Collectively, we serve together. We worship together. And we give together. And there is no member here that's insignificant. I sometimes, over the years, when I see children that will drop in those quarters and coins and money, it's a beautiful sound. There's no insignificant amount. Whether we're on a fixed income or whether we're able only to give a certain amount or maybe we've been blessed and we're able to give a little bit more. We give ultimately as a family, as a church. And that's what matters. And I think if we'll keep that in perspective and remember what these numbers represent, it'll help us when we think about the work in this location at Crosstown. You know, I love this quote, as I want to just for just a few moments here, just want us to think about the idea of sowing the seed of the kingdom. This quote by a German theologian, Helmut Thickel, wrote in his book, How Modern Should Theology Be? He said, the gospel must be preached afresh and told in new ways to every generation. Since every generation has its own unique questions, this is why the gospel must be constantly forwarded to a new address, because the recipient is repeatedly changing his place of residence. Let me tell you something, especially in our country, it's not just so much that people are changing addresses and residence. That happens often now, probably more than it has in years past. But people are changing residence when it comes to their ideas and their beliefs and their morals and what they consider truth and what they consider in their relationship with God. And so the gospel has to be preached afresh in every generation anew. I think about the great parable. We're really not going to look at it any in-depth way this morning here, but you know this parable in Matthew chapter 13. Do you have your Bibles here, church? Let's hold those up here real quick so we make sure we've got them. Let's not just hold them up. Let's open them up, and let's look inside God's Word. But you know this very familiar story, this parable that Jesus told. You know, oftentimes the focus, rightfully so, has been on the soil. You know, sometimes called the parable of the soils, because it addresses the condition of the human heart, different conditions, and the seed fell among the different types of soil or the human heart. But Jesus, we need to always remember, Jesus calls it this parable of the sower, down in verse 18. When he speaks about and he gives the explanation that listen to what the parable of the sower means. And again here in Matthew 13 and verse 3, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed. The emphasis is on ultimately that this is a parable of sowing the seed of the kingdom and how different folks receive that seed, the Word of God. We know that in Luke's account, he would say that the seed is the Word of God, Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Peter would write in 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25, that we've been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and abiding Word of God. And he says, this is the gospel that's been preached to you, the seed of the gospel, the Word of God. You know, Jesus on one occasion in John chapter 4 and verse 24 says, or in chapter 4, he talks about, open your eyes, for the harvest is white, is plentiful. The harvest is ripe to be harvested. The workers are few, he said, but the harvest is ripe. We believe as a congregation, I know our elders believe, that the harvest is ripe in our congregation, in our community, and around the world, that folks are seeking something. They're seeking the truth. They're seeking something meaningful. They're seeking for peace. They're seeking for answers. They're seeking for joy that evades them. And we have the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We have the seed of God's Word that we want to share and implant, plant in honest hearts, in good soil, where fertile hearts it can be cultivated and watered and developed and eventually can bring forth the crop and the harvest. And we know that God's Word speaks of this. And we also know that we've been blessed by the gospel, and the question is, are we going to share it? That's really what it's all about. Are we going to share this message? Are we going to share what we've received from Christ Jesus? You know, we come here a few hours a week, and I hope we don't just keep it to ourselves. I hope we realize that the gospel has to go forth. Jesus said, go into all the world. He didn't say folks to come. He said, go to His disciples. Now, we can invite folks, and I believe by an extension and principle, we're going, if we are actively inviting people as well, to come to a place like this and worship and study with us. But our call is to go. Our call is to be light. Our call is to be salt. And Jesus used that analogy. You don't hide that light under the lampstand. You don't put that salt keep it in the container. It's got to get out. It's got to flavor. It's got to influence. It's got to impact. You and I are that living gospel message. You know, I love years ago what William Barclay wrote, and it's really an indictment against some of the methods that folks have used to evangelize, or lack of. He says, more people have been brought into the church by the kindness of real Christian love than by all the theological arguments in the world. More people have been driven from the church by the hardness and ugliness of so-called Christianity than by all the doubts in the world. You know, I think about that, and I think about sometimes the approach that some Christians and even some churches take, and it's almost like the message is how much God is angry at people, how much God is upset with people. Even in some radical instances that God, how hateful God is, that He hates you and He hates what you're doing, and that's kind of the emphasis in that way. And I think about that, and I think, you know, the message can be communicated sometimes that we're at war with the world. You know, Christians in the church, we're battling, and the Bible uses that imagery, of course, but we have to be careful. We have to be careful in thinking that sometimes. That we realize we're not at war with our fellow man. We're not at war with our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, our family. Sometimes what I've noticed when folks kind of have that disposition and attitude, that they're really at war with themselves, mostly. And they're just taking that out on others. But even though we have deep differences with folks that we love and we know and we are neighbors with and maybe our coworkers with, we have some deep differences. We have a worldview that's radically different. We're not angry at anybody. We want to love folks. We want to live a gospel message in front of folks. You know, anytime I think about this idea and sharing our faith and living out our faith, most folks are not initially going to be convinced. They're not going to be bowled over by all of our arguments. And I believe we've got some good arguments. I believe we have some good points that we can sit down with folks and open God's Word and reveal to them the truth. But when we think about it, you know, that's not what people initially are won over with. They're won over with, as Barclay says, how they've been loved, how they've been treated, how they've been viewed. That's what wins people over. You know, I suspect we have folks here this morning that are members of our church that have become Christians over the years, that you're a Christian because the seed was sown in your heart through the influence of someone else that was a member of the church, was a Christian. How they treated you, how they acted, how they talked, their values, everything about them. And I suspect we've got some folks sitting here this morning, I know we do, that you were won over because of that influence. Maybe even some spouses here, maybe even some husbands, maybe even some wives, that you were influenced and won over by that godly example, that God placed somebody in your life, God placed someone strategically in your life that could live out the gospel, that could demonstrate Christianity in a very powerful way. Someone was a good representative of Jesus. Someone was a good ambassador for Jesus to you. And that made all the difference in the world. You know, one of the first times I was able to go to the Ukraine and do a help in a short-term mission work effort, I always forget one of the local preachers there at one of the services we attended one night. He ended the nights that he would get up and he would challenge the church and encourage the church. And of course, we had our translators there that was telling us what they were saying to us in English, translating to us in English. And I remember this one preacher would say, "Go this week, go out and announce the gospel." And I always liked that. Because I thought, you know, I was there as a preacher, that we had come over there to kind of help and do some teaching seminars and some campaigns there. And I thought, you know, man, this guy is teaching me something. I know about the gospel. I can tell you about the gospel. But he is telling us, go announce it. Go live it. Impact others for the gospel. Let me tell you, folks are craving that. They will bend over backwards. They will give up just about anything they can to receive something that valuable and that precious. You know, I was reminded this past couple of weeks ago, end of November, was the 25th anniversary of a pretty significant event in world history. The Berlin Wall came down 25 years ago last month. You know, maybe sometimes we forget about how significant that was. That there was actually nations, communist countries that were kind of in that part of that world that thought that they could kind of imprison their own citizens, right? They thought they could keep them out. They could keep them in, rather, and keep folks out. And so they had this wall, and they had the ramparts, and they had guards there. And there were some 200 people down through the years that were killed trying to get past that, trying to get escape from that kind of tyranny, trying to get to freedom. But of course, 25 years ago, last month, that wall did come down. And that wall came down because folks just in mass rose up. And they said, we're not going to live this way. We're going to be free. Freedom announces the gospel. Think about all the things that announce the gospel. It starts with freedom. Jesus Christ, as our world is thinking about His coming into the world some 2,000 years ago, it was announced that that message of salvation, that message of hope, that message of redemption, that message of freedom had come into the world, that men and women could find a Savior. A Savior had been born. And that message is so powerful all these 2,000 years later. We need to announce that message in our lives. That's what we're about as the church here at Crosstown, the body of Christ. hopefully everything that we're doing in our mission and our ministries. You know, we've talked a lot about our mission statement here, to reflect God's glory, to transform lives, to share Christ. All of that is for the purpose of announcing the gospel, to telling others what God has done in Christ Jesus for us and for all the world. Go and announce the gospel. That's our challenge. That's our task. And 2015, it's hard to believe. We're just a couple of weeks away and we're going to start a new year. And I'm thankful that, we look at a few things. Our elders have had to make some tough decisions in some areas. We've had to look at how we're spending, what areas we could cut in a good, useful way. That's a good stewardship of the Lord's money here. But I'm thankful our elders are not wanting to retreat. This isn't the time to fall back. This is the time to keep advancing. This is the time to go forth here, because we are wanting to announce the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we do that when children are being taught in Vacation Bible School or by Bible school teachers singing to them about Jesus loves them, this we know, for the Bible tells us so, or whether it's any other of the ministries that we do here at Crosstown. We are announcing the gospel. We are a gospel church. And let's never forget that. Now, my challenge for you this morning is, think about ways in your life. Think about areas that God can lead you in to announcing the gospel more this coming year. What are some new ways? Where are some new areas? Where are some new areas that you can serve the Lord in your life and as you serve here in our congregation? What are some doors that the Lord can open up for you to announce the gospel? Be thinking about that this year. That's what it's all about, is you and I are about planting the seed of the gospel, all the seed of faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ that can cultivate, can be cultivated and watered and encouraged and prayed over, that the gospel will bring forth a harvest, the fruit, and people will be saved. You know, that's our great challenge as a congregation. And so I hope on times like this, when we're thinking about the budget and numbers are being tossed around, I hope you think about, ultimately, it's all about announcing the gospel. That's what we're trying to do as a congregation in our individual lives and collectively in some of the things we're trying to do as a church family. It's all gospel-centered, hopefully, and in our mission and in our approach. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you realize in some area of your life that you need to rededicate yourself to, maybe as a Christian. You haven't been sowing the seed of the kingdom. You haven't been about the Father's business, about working in the Lord's kingdom like you need to be. Maybe you realize you need to make some changes. Maybe that involves some rededication in some area. Maybe that involves your commitment to announce the gospel in your life, your influence, where you are at in your life. Maybe that involves a public response. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel. We want to offer this invitation through your faith and repentance and baptism to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, to rise up a new creation, a new child of God. We want to give this opportunity as we stand, as we sing now.